security people to verify you were in the area you should be. I made my way to the bank of lifts and selected the express one to floors 48 through 50. I entered and pressed the 50 button just as a short captain appeared. Rather than enter, he stepped back and the doors closed. When I exited the elevator on the 50th floor, two security guards were waiting. One stood watching me closely, as if I might morph into something, while the other checked my visitor's badge.
Ma'am, if you would wait in the lounge at the end of the corridor to the right, the Admiral's secretary will let you know when he's available.
They stepped back and allowed me to pass. I had just sat down when a petty officer third class entered the room. His uniform and appearance was impeccable, and he showed excellent discipline by appearing not to notice my tattoo.
Ma'am, may I get you something to eat or drink? It may be a few minutes before the Admiral is available, he said, looking properly attentive.
I remembered that the last time, the kaffa had a hint of chocolate, a rare treat.
Kaffa would be nice.
Yes, ma'am, he said, and quietly disappeared. A few minutes later, he appeared with the cup of kaffa on a tray covered with a white cloth. I feel like a commander rather than a lieutenant, I sent to Thalia.
Bill coming.
Ma'am, I'll be just outside. If you need anything else, just press the red button on the arm of your chair, he said, leaving as quietly as he'd arrived.
I sat sipping my kaffa while idly browsing the latest news vids. There were several articles detailing the SAS Tiger's engagement with three raider ships at Lord's Landing and interviews with survivors. It was a major triumph for the SAS and the Navy, but the price had been high. Over two-thirds of the crew had been killed or seriously injured. I'd received the Silver Star for doing my job and the Purple Heart for having been wounded in action. Since the Tiger had been damaged beyond cost-effective repair, it left me without an assignment. A new assignment meant new people and having to overcome the inevitable prejudices.
One person, one day at a time.
Thalia was right, but before I could respond, the petty officer reappeared.
Ma'am, if you will follow me, the Admiral will see you now.
I entered, braced to attention, and saluted. Lieutenant Reese, reporting as ordered, I said, trying to throw my voice across the room. Admiral Plimpson sat 10 paces away, behind a massive wooden desk, in a brown leather-like chair. The wall behind him was solid glass, and the view of Eden breathtaking. Hundreds of buildings glistened in the sun like giant stalagmites. The Admiral was a little above normal height, had a solid build for a middle-aged man, wavy silver hair, and a round face with a broad nose. Everything looked the same as the last time, except there was no other person in the room. Last time, Captain Giordano had been there to interview me for a position on his crew.
At ease, Lieutenant, and have a seat. Would you like something to drink?
He leaned back in his chair and took a sip from his cup while waiting for me to sit.
No, thank you, sir.
He sat there for a long time with his fingers together under his chin, like in prayer, observing me but saying nothing.
Reese, with the destruction of the Tiger, you are again without a ship. It will take time to get assignments for you and the other survivors of the Tiger. Besides, you deserve a well-earned rest. Most will visit family or friends or take a vacation. You, on the other hand, will have nothing to do and nowhere to go. Without intending to, the Risk Project has isolated you from society, and the tattoo precludes your anonymity.
He paused, seemingly waiting for some kind of response.
I remove tattoo. We see town.
Thalia sent into the silence. Fortunately, I was the only one who could hear. Her laugh rang through me like glass chimes tinkling in the wind. SAS's perfect solution isn't so perfect. The tattoo was meant to ensure we could always be recognized in case the Risk took control of their human host, and the Risk could remove it.